Here are James and Morris Carey.
Thank you, Magic Mike, and thank you for tuning into this half of this hour of On the House with us, the Carey Brothers. I'm Morris, he's James. Want to remind you that after the broadcast today, you want to stay tuned on KSRO for the Warriors game, immediately following our show.
And a reminder that we'll continue this hour, and then we have one additional full hour of our seminar for you, and you may join us at 707-636-1350 or via text at 800-737-2474. Several people have asked the question that Beverly in Coffee Park posed. Just what is forensic architecture? Elizabeth, can you address that, please?
Yes, thank you. I actually hadn't been calling it that until I heard you say that, but in fact, that's what it is. We're recreating what you had before. Starting, if your foundation is there, that makes it easier, but if not, we use, sometimes insurance have, the insurance company has some very rough plans, or your appraisal has rough plans. There might be something in the building department, but we're just starting with what you had and trying to put it back together, the exact floor plan that you had before. Sometimes it's easier than others. We would start with the floor plan, try to locate it on the site, and then we would start with the elevations. It's sometimes very difficult and other times very easy. So it's really just an as-built drawing. You might have heard of as-built drawing.
Okay. So. Very good. Thank you so much. All right. To Carol Carey and a text question that we have, please.
This is from Mark White. Does permit turnaround and fee reduction apply if I choose to build on a different lot instead of rebuilding on my burned lot?
Okay. And that would go to Patrick.
Actually, no, it would not apply. The fee reduction and the turnaround time is based on replacing the home that was burned. And developing another parcel is all new development. And so it would be considered exactly that, new development.
New development. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And
why don't you turn the projector on for me, bro?
All right. What about in-ground septic systems? Mike?
I think it's one of those things that people don't pay much attention to about their in-ground septic system. And they think of it because it's below ground. It wasn't damaged, but they are damaged. It's usually the risers on the septic tank. And if you have a control panel, those can get damaged. And so what you need to do is get an inspection, which we call a findings report. And then based on that, you can have a contractor repair whatever things are needing to be replaced on your septic system. It's important, of course, to do that while you're still working with your insurance companies, right? That's the whole idea.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. By the way, I want to remind everyone that all of the discussion today will be documented via podcast at ksro.com, at onthehouse.com, and we will also have a resource section that we're setting up with all of the documents, websites, soft copies of all of the wonderful information. Santa Rosa has some terrific information. The Contractor State License Board has terrific information, and we want to make that available to you. One of the big things that you'll face is getting an estimate, and how do you evaluate? First of all, how do you get bids, and how do you evaluate those bids? And Morris Carey has put together some information that you may find helpful.
This may sound a little simplistic to begin with. However, if you will try and absorb the initial information that sounds simplistic, then we'll, as the slide presentation goes on, apply that to the bigger picture. So one of the things that we want to do in acquiring and understanding a bid, first of all, why is it that a contractor's bid often varies in price so significantly? You know, for instance, you request a roof replacement. Now, you're not requesting a roof replacement. I understand that. You're going to be putting on a new roof. But for example here, you call 10 contractors, and seven of the contractors will never get back to you. And then the three contractors who do get back to you have bids of $12,000 and $21,000 and $43,000, and you're wondering why there's this broad difference in the bidding. You're shaking your head yes, right? Have any of you had this occur before? Well, we have an answer to this secret. And the secret is that those contractors who made bids bid their favorite roof, the roof that they like to install most. And they tried to sell you on their roof as being the best roof for you. And best salesperson wins. The $43,000 roof might be the lowest price roof as far as dollars for roofing is concerned. But how can you tell for sure? Well, the way that you tell for sure is that you don't let the contractor choose the roofing. You have to choose the roofing. You must tell the contractor specifically what roofing material you want. In the case of a roofing bid, you need specifically the type of roofing material that you want each bidder, each and every bidder, to bid. If you select the roofing material, you change the game, and you change it to an apples-to-apples game. Here's why. Contractors make their bids based on material cost, equipment cost, labor cost, and profit. Okay? If you specify the material, there'll be very little difference between the contractor's bids. And here's why. With material costs, everything is going to be the same. Every contractor is buying the same material, and every contractor buys for about the same price. With equipment costs, the equipment needed to load and logistically take care of the roofing is the same, because the roofing is the same. There's no difference in weight or size. Everyone has to load the same piece of roofing up onto the same roof. Labor costs. The labor is going to differ between clay tile roofing, shake roofing, and composition roofing. If you have given a sample of the roofing you want to the contractor, then his labor is going to be the same as everybody else's labor, just about, because it takes every different crew just about the same amount of time to put that material in. And the profit, generally contractors charge 10% contingency, 10% overhead, and 10% profit, or some iteration of that. You know, 15% overhead, 5% profit. You may not even see it in the bid, but it's there, okay? And your insurance company will want to see the overhead and profit. How much time do we have?
Very good. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about things that you need to look for in your contract. Once you've selected a contractor and you're ready to sign on the dotted line, some of the things that you need to think of. As On the House continues, live from the Veterans Memorial Building, after this.
Hello, Rockwool. Our favorite insulation, Roxel, is now Rockwool. For over 25 years, they've been supplying stone wool insulation for homes throughout North America. Rockwool's thermal insulation bats and boards keep homes comfortable in all kinds of weather. Products are made for exterior wall cavities, attics, and basements, and are easy to use in both new construction and remodeling projects. Rockwool Safe and Sound insulation is ideal for interior walls and ceilings to significantly reduce sound transmission and protect against the spread of fire.
Cut, fasten, paint, done. It really is that simple with Boral True Exterior Siding and Trim. Boral's revolutionary new polyash material addresses both moisture and thermal movement related issues, while genuinely replicating the natural look of traditional wood products, creating a balance of performance and aesthetics that cannot be found in other man-made materials. Get a free sample at BoralTrueExterior.com and try it for yourself.
It's the first introduction people have to your home. What do you want your door to communicate? You don't have to settle for a cookie-cutter design that looks the same as everyone else's. Simpson offers a tremendous variety of ways to personalize your entry door to fit you. Choose from a wide range of wood species, glass types, dimensions, and door styles and shapes for one-of-a-kind results. You can even start from scratch with your own custom ideas for an entirely unique door. Find your door today at SimpsonDoor.com.
Have you been working hard out in the garden? Well, we have just the tool you need to work smarter. The dual rotating rear tine tiller from our friends at YardMax. New in time for summer, this powerful machine stays true to YardMax's product line of providing well-made, durable, long-lasting machines that are easy on your wallet. To learn more, head on over to YardMax.com. Now available at Amazon.com. Max performance, max value, max support. That's YardMax. Tame the great outdoors.
There are things that a door window screen will always do.
Like keeping bugs out.
Letting fresh air in.
And blending in with your home and style.
But screens will also be there all the time, even when you don't need them or don't want to see them.
So what if it doesn't always have to be that way?
Retractable screens by Phantom completely disappear when not in use and pull into place only when you need them.
Don't let your screens get in your way. Experience screens that disappear.
Experience Phantom. Go to PhantomScreens.com today.
That's PhantomScreens.com.
Struggling to get in and out of the tub? Worried about falling? You need an American Standard walk-in bath with over 20 comfort and safety features, including an ultra-low entryway, slip-resistant floor, built-in sturdy seat, and 44 massaging air and water jets. Call 800-228-4119 now for your free in-home estimate. And for a limited time, get $1,500 in savings, which includes a free American Standard right height toilet. Call 800-228-4119 today. Is your home looking outdated and just plain worn out? Need more space but don't want to move? Been drooling over pictures of those beautiful kitchens and elegant master suites? Well, then it's time to remodel. Call Carey Brothers Remodeling today at 877-734-6404 to schedule your free in-home design consultation. Carey Brothers Remodeling offers complete design services from concept through construction, tailored to your needs and your budget. Personalized material and product selection. Firm start and finish dates, plus a 5-year written guarantee. Why not start your new kitchen, bath, room addition, or remodel now? Call Carey Brothers Remodeling today at 877-734-6404. That's 877-734-6404. 877-734-6404. Or visit them online at careybrothers.com. California State Contractors License Number 442880.
Here are James and Morris Carey.
Thank you, everyone. As we had just gotten to profit, want you to know that your contractor's bids will have to be itemized. You won't be able to take a bid on a business card to an insurance company and get more money than they want to give you. If you want to get the most in return for your insurance payment dollars, you will need a contractor who will provide you with an itemized list of prices. The windows, how much they cost, how much they cost to install, the plumbing fixtures, how much they cost, how much they cost to install, the flooring, how much it costs, how much it costs to install, the contingency, overhead, and profit. And I know a lot of you are not familiar with the fact that contractors have a contingency over in profit, because you may have seen a bid only on a business card or a bid that hides those elements. But you'll be seeing them now. And there'll be a 10% contingency, a 10% overhead, and a 10% profit. That's the most common numbers in the construction industry. The 10% contingency is required by banks. You can't get a loan without a 10% of for a custom home or any kind of home without the bank requiring a 10% contingency, because there are so many variables on a construction site that contingency isn't for you, it's for the contractor. I want to continue and remind you that when you thoroughly specify items to the contractor, rather than the contractor specifying them to you, you drastically reduce price differences. Did I make that point? Does everyone know that if you hand the contractor what you want, hand all the contractors that you get bids from what you want, they will all bid what you have asked for. And then those bids will be very close together. Here's what we do. We take five bids, we take the average of the five bids, and we don't buy more than 5% less or more than the average price. Period. Five bids, average of the five bids, 5% more or less than average is what we pay our subcontractors. As long as every single one of them have stipulated that they agree to provide everything that's in the plans and specifications. That's how we do it. That's how you might want to do it as well. Go on. So what does all this have to do with getting a bid on your entire home? You won't ever talk to the roofing contractor. The contractor is going to do that for you. Here's how you do it. First, you must work with a design professional or an architect and thoroughly reconstruct your home on paper, forensic plans. The more detail, the better your insurance coverage will be. And you must include every silly little detail. The shower curtain is required by code. It's not a decoration. It doesn't go into your personal property. It goes into your building. The same thing with the lights that you plug in. That's not furniture. That's a part of your home. You paid for that to light your passageway, whether it's built in or not. It's lighting it. You get that. Every single little item that's in your home, whether it's covered or not, should be on your list of what was in that home. And don't be in a hurry. I told you that James and I, in remodels that we do and custom homes, we spend a year designing and a year building. And don't try and do it any faster than that. Let every... In Oakland, the people who speeded to get their settlements settled for insurance companies offering $150 a foot. There were builders who would not build for that price and argued with the insurance companies until they got $175 a foot or $180 a foot. And those contractors who built for $150 a foot, most went broke and left the homeowner holding the bag. So don't be in a rush. Somebody said the prices are $250 from Farmers Insurance or State Farm, and the contractors are building $450 or are bidding $450. You stay with your contractors. The hell with the insurance company. You stay with your contractor and let him fight for you. Let your architect fight for you, or let an attorney fight for you. If that's what you have to do, that's what you need to do. Stand your ground.
Now, maybe some of the fighting can be diminished with a good contract. And, of course, our friends at the Contractor State License Board have tremendous resources online that you can utilize to determine what should be in your contract. But in general, if someone says to you, hey, listen, I'll do this thing cost plus. We'll do it time and materials. That's a red flag. You don't want to do that. You want a stipulated sum or a fixed price contract for rebuilding your home. You want progress payments. You don't want to get ahead on payments. The Contractor State License Law is 10% or $1,000 down at contract. You don't want to get ahead on payments. You want to make sure that the contractor is progressing and typically isn't paid at the commencement of painting, is paid at completion of painting, is not paid at the commencement of cabinet construction, but at cabinets delivered to the site. You must be a prudent buyer. Lien releases. There is a notice to owner, which is required in every contract in the state of California, where you may be advised that you could pay more than once. If your contractor doesn't pay his material suppliers or subcontractors, you could be liable for that. So you want to make sure that you get releases of lien for every payment that you make to your contractor. You can require that. They can give it to you. Check with the Contractor State License Board. They'll tell you more about that. How are change orders handled? When you start to rebuild your home, you might say, you know what? Let's do this a little differently. I didn't think it through. I really didn't see the way Elizabeth drew it. I didn't really understand what that was going to look like. Let's make that ceiling a little higher. You may have a change. It's okay, but it should be addressed in the contract how change orders are to be handled, so that if you have a change, it's going to be drawn, it's going to be estimated, you'll be given a price, you'll agree to the price and the change in design, in writing, and it will be added to the contract sum with your expressed written approval. None of this, well, you know, I thought you'd like it, so I went ahead and did it, and then you get this big fat bill at the end of the project. Do not allow changes unless they're in writing. And finally, of course, the things that go along in the contract with regard to insurances and bonding and all of that, so that you're protected. And what about the installed construction? Who's responsible if, God forbid, there's another disaster during construction? Is your insurance, do you have insurance in place that will cover the installed product? Or is the installed product something that's covered by the contractor's insurance? Be clear about that so that you know. And as Rick mentioned, or someone mentioned, don't get your own building permit. Don't let a builder convince you to go out and get your own building permit because you can save money. What you want to do is engage the contractor, have the contractor get the building permit for you. There are requirements that cities and counties have with regard to insurance and workers' comp and personnel lists and that whole bit, city business licenses and licenses for all of the subcontractors that they engage on a project. And finally, commencement and completion dates. You want to know when the project will begin. You want to know how long it's going to take to complete the project. Realistic expectations subject to any changes that you make. These are essentials for your contract, and there are more. Check them out at the Contractor's State License Board.
I have a comment. Boy, you know, many of the folks in Oakland wanted to modify their homes during the reconstruction, and you can do that. Here's how you do it. You get your forensic plan, and then you design a plan that's in keeping with the cost of your original house before you rebuild, and change your house in accordance with the budget that you've created by negotiating with the insurance company. Here's what some people in Oakland did. Their eyes were bigger than their stomach. The contractor provides the insurance company with a price that it takes for him to rebuild. He can't put an extra $100,000 in there. The insurance company won't accept it. It has to be a realistic number to rebuild your house. If you want a bigger home for the same price, or if you want to build the same home for less than the insurance settlement, you're going to have to find an illegitimate contractor, an idiot, because a good contractor won't build it for you. And if you don't care if the contractor is not legitimate, remember this, that between you and the contractor, he knows more about how to screw you than you know about how to screw him when it comes to building. So you will lose. And I'll show you an example. The bath fan on the left is $300. And the bath fan on the right is $12. And how do you know the difference? So I'm telling you, the contractor is going to bid to get the entire chunk of construction money from the insurance company. Anything you do to try and dilute that will come out of your pocket one way or another.
More to come. One more hour on the house live on KSRO. Stay tuned. And don't forget the Warriors at 6 o'clock. You're listening to On the House with the Carey Brothers.
Here are James and Morris Carey.
Thank you, Magic Mike, and thank you for tuning into this hour of On the House with us, the Carey Brothers. I'm Morris, he's James. We're coming to you live from Santa Rosa, California, the Veterans Hall. Wonderful audience, some terrific panelists, questions coming from you over the air, texting, phone calls. Folks here in the audience doing our best to answer as many questions as possible.
Telephone calls at 707-636-1350, 707-636-1350.
Texting at 800-737-2474. That's 800-737-2474, 1-800-REPAIR-IT. Or by Twitter at Carey Brothers.
A reminder to stay tuned for the Warriors game immediately following our broadcast at 6 p.m. And I want to extend our thanks before we go on and tell you that we have an excellent hour in store for you answering your questions. We'll do recaps with all of our panel members throughout the three-hour broadcast and take more questions. But first, to you for attending, listening, viewing, and participating, to our panel, all panel members for their generous contribution of time and their expertise, to our local affiliate of 25 years, Sonoma County's News Talk KSRO, 1350 AM and 103.5 FM, Michael O'Shea, President and CEO of Amaturo Sonoma Media Group, Jim Murphy, our program director at KSRO, Kathy Slack, sales manager, Candace Lewis, sales assistant, Mike DeWald, our remote engineer, doing a phenomenal job with Eloy Camacho, promotions manager, station board op, Tyson Engel, Jamie Altman, with our team, who is the seminar coordinator, Sandra Furpo, a big hand for Sandra, our remote producer, Carol Carey, our production assistant, and Chase Carey, our Facebook Live videographer. What a wonderful team. It takes a village. All of these people have volunteered. They're all volunteers who have put this together along with our panelists, and we're so grateful.
I want to talk for a moment about upgrades. Upgrades are those things that the insurance company won't pay for, regardless of the kind of insurance you have. Earthquake upgrades. Earthquake upgrades involve extra bolts in the foundation and a few straps here and there. Very minor cost. Don't be upset by earthquake upgrades. There is a standard that we all build by these days. We put plywood on the outside of the house. That may not be something that you had on your previous home, which means you won't have it on your new home. That doesn't necessarily mean that you won't have to have little pieces of plywood here and there to meet the earthquake codes. Fire upgrades. I don't know if the fire department is going to require sprinkler systems. If you have one now, then you can have a new one at no cost. If you don't, that sprinkler system is going to cost you $4,000. I'm sure that I don't live here, and I have never lost a home in a fire, but I'm not sure that all the people here can afford $4,000 or $5,000 for a sprinkler system, and I feel that is something that you as a community ought to work with the fire department, because not everyone here can afford a fire sprinkler system just because the fire department says so. And I'm sorry, I don't agree with everybody in government. And then, of course, electrical upgrades. The new code says that your plugs have to be fewer feet apart than they've ever been before. I think it's ridiculous that your plugs have to be 6 foot apart everywhere in your home when 6 and 12 worked for 40 years just fine. There are new breakers that are very expensive that you have to pay for, which the insurance company won't pay for. And I think that the building department should be held accountable for that. I don't think you should lose and then lose again with the building department and the fire department because they want you to do electrical code that is, as far as I'm concerned, I've been an electrician for 35 years. Some of the parts of the code are pretty good because they have better breakers, but all that extra wire, it's expensive. Your electrical goes from $15,000 or $20,000 to $30,000 or $35,000. That's ridiculous. The building department needs to look at that because the wiring in your home was pretty safe, especially if you get new wiring now with THHN cable. So you're going to get better electrical at the expense of the insurance company without doing what the building department wants and without doing what the fire department wants. There are ways of making your house more fireproof. You can put in 5/8-inch drywall, which will cost you $200 or $300 or $400 more, and you don't need fire sprinklers, and your home will be more fireproof. And you can put on a Class A roof, and that'll protect your roof, which is one of the fire department's biggest issues, getting through the roof to get into your house to stop that fire in the attic. So I want to give my opinion. I know the fire department thinks I'm an idiot, that everyone ought to have fire sprinklers. I do too. I think all of you ought to have fire sprinklers. But I don't think in losing your home to this fire, you have to put them in. I think that's ridiculous. And I think the new code, the electrical code being forced on this people is ridiculous. That right there is $20,000 if it's a penny.
Now, I'd like to weigh in on that and to say this, that if your coverage allows for code upgrades, if your coverage allows for code upgrades, and the code requirement is for fire sprinklers, and the code requirement is 6 feet for electrical and the new ARCs, fault circuit interrupters, and that sort of thing, then those costs, you'll be entitled to those costs by your insurance company, which is why it's imperative to make sure that you define what your coverage is and understand it. Going back to Matthew's comment when we began this seminar today, to really read and understand your insurance documents, and if you don't, to have an attorney look through them for you. Because we want to be advocates for you. We want everybody to have the safest, most comfortable configuration. But we also want to be sensitive to your pocketbook and want you to be able to know what you're entitled to and to get that. All right.
I also feel with 9,000 homes at $10,000 a home, that's how much money? Can anybody figure 10,000 times 9,000? That $9 million?
Mm-hmm.
$9 million for the building department. $9 million. Why can't they do it for $4,500,000? All they're going to do is look at your plans, approve them to the code, and make 4 inspections. That's all they're going to do. They're not going to do anything else. Why should I pay $10,000 to look at my plans? I can hire an engineer to look at my plans for $1,000. I think that you guys ought to go out and come together as a group like Oakland did and get your due. Don't let the fire department and the building department and the architects and the contractors run you in circles. Get together. Group up. Oakland did it, and they beat the insurance companies. And the building department and the fire department cooperated like nobody's business. They didn't come out with fire sprinklers. Oakland is a higher fire hazard district than any of Santa Rosa. And that didn't come out. It wasn't required. And permits were almost nothing in a city where the permits are 5 times the price of Santa Rosa. You people need to get together.
Okay.
Or you're going to get taken advantage of.
All right, and there's more that you can do to protect your home. It's not just about fire sprinklers and codes. It's about building materials, and we've come a long way in the last 25 years. We've come a long way in the last 5 years with regard to fire-safe building materials, and we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up in our next break. So if you would like to join us at 707-636-1350, please do so. Or you can text a question at 800-737-2474. We'll be back with more after this.
Struggling to get in and out of the tub? Worried about falling? You need an American Standard walk-in bath with over 20 comfort and safety features, including an ultra-low entryway, slip-resistant floor, built-in sturdy seat, and 44 massaging air and water jets. Call 800-228-4119 now for your free in-home estimate. And for a limited time, get $1,500 in savings, which includes a free American Standard right height toilet. Call 800-228-4119 today.
Did you know your concrete porch and steps, patio, pool deck, garage floor, even your ugly laminate countertops can be resurfaced with real stone as easily as painting? I'm Peter Deitch, president of Deitch Coatings, and I'm here to say you can. Tastefully accent surfaces all around your home with just a roller and a brush to achieve beautiful, high-performance stone finishes that last. Why wait? Deitch Coatings are available to you factory direct and online at homedepot.com. Plan your next project at DeitchCoatings.com. That's DeitchCoatings.com.
The probability of a serious house fire may be low, but the potential consequences are huge. In addition to smoke alarms, fire-resistant building materials can give you extra time to escape when seconds count. Rockwool Stone Wool Insulation is a critical line of defense in fire protection. Made from basalt rock and slag, it's a non-combustible product resisting temperatures up to 2150 degrees Fahrenheit, and it won't contribute to toxic smoke or promote flames. Rockwool. What it's made of makes all of the difference. With Phantom motorized retractable screens, you have the choice of insect mesh, clear vinyl, or both.
So in the heat of summer, you can keep cool air in, and in the chill of winter, you can keep cold air out.
Then in spring and fall, you can enjoy fresh air with no mosquitoes.
Retractable screens by Phantom completely disappear when not in use and appear only when you need them, all at the touch of a button.
Experience screens that disappear. Experience Phantom. Go to phantomscreens.com today.
That's phantomscreens.com.
Here are James and Morris Carey.
Thanks so much. The dialogue continues. Thanks for being with us. Thank you for... there's so much going on here, and we appreciate your being part of it. We found sustainable building materials and building materials that are more fire safe. Some folks may like the look of that redwood V-rustic profile siding that they had on their home. They have a ranch-style home. Maybe they have masonry elements, a shake roof. You don't have to give up those things. There are composite building products. You can get a shake profile in a composite roof that has a Class A fire rating. You can get a layered or a laminated asphalt shingle composition roof that has a Class A fire rating. There may be materials that you like that don't have a Class A fire rating, but that may be achieved with the addition of a layer of drywall. So there are also fire-safe building cladding materials, siding. They're products that look exactly like the redwood V-rustic profile or the shiplap or the lap siding that you have, that don't burn as easily, fiber cement products. Elizabeth, as an architect, will tell you that part of what they do is they research materials and products and finishes. So if you assign that task to the design professional or contractor that you're working with, preferably the design professional, so that you can have your contractor's bid on the material specifications that your design professional has specified, then you can find products that will give you more fire-safe construction. One of our underwriters that's present today, aside from PG&E, is West Coast Fire Shield, and we are joined on our panel by a gentleman who we appreciate, who has contributed to making this possible, and that is John Cherry. John, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I was quite impressed when I saw the video at your website where you have a material that can be applied to brush, dry brush, grasslands, which prevents the transfer of fire and fire from jumping. But you also have products that can be applied to the installed product, the rough frame, if you will, that will create a more fire-resistant structure. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, those products are all liquids. They're very thin type liquids that will saturate into a material, making them fire safe. As we all know, fire is a chemical process that happens. If you know the fire triangle, you have fuel, you need heat, and you need oxygen. So what this does, as it soaks in the wood and heat gets near it, it starts displacing that oxygen, so pretty much suffocating that oxygen out of the air, not allowing the fire to breathe.
Excellent. And what about the material that gets sprayed on the grasslands and that sort of thing? And how often does that need to be done? Is that seasonal?
That's a seasonal.
Because a lot of folks here are in rural areas, and there's a lot of rural grass and that gets dry.
Yeah, that is a product you would use if you're in a country area, a country environment, and you have a lot of brush. Now, the fire department is always saying that, hey, you need to mitigate your property, and that's a piece of the puzzle. This can also be a piece of the puzzle to reduce your risk of fire. It's basically very similar to what the fire department uses when they drop out of the airplanes to stop a fire, the FOSS check. But this is actually for private residents. They can use, they can put on their dry brush and grass and also make a fire break. So also reducing the risk of fire to their home.
And the website?
The website is westcoastfireshield.com, and we do have pamphlets also in the back you can pick up.
I think it might be a good idea for you guys to talk with the fire department and see if they approve your process and if it's one that they would accept in lieu of something else.
Okay.
All right. To the city manager, tree removal of street trees. Are those trees that belong to the homeowner or do they belong to the city?
Yeah, trees belong to the homeowners, so those are removable. If we're streamlining the process for the tree removal, so you can take a picture, you can come into the front counter, it's over the counter, we'll help facilitate that process and get those removed if needed, if people want those removed.
Is the city going to remove them for a fee, or is the city just going to remove them?
That's an insurable loss, I believe.
Yeah, so if there's a street tree there and it needs to be removed, again, it's up to the homeowner if they want to remove it or not.
Okay.
The street trees typically are, as with other landscaping, is an insurable loss that you should ask for. Furthermore, you need to look closely at what you had in the way of landscaping, hardscape, irrigation, plant material, trees, because there's a cost associated with putting all of that back together, and that's important. Here's a note. Concrete and foam houses did better against wildfires. This is from Dan. Is it time to shy against our usual wood construction? I think that we saw that after the Oakland fire. We did a single family detached residence out of light gauge steel, and it cost a fortune.
Steel melts.
I think that
wood burns and steel melts.
I think that the chief addressed that, and he said there are construction techniques that are being utilized today which will prevent the spread of fire. There are more fire-resistant building materials that you can use as cladding. It's not just about the building material, but it's about the spread of fire based on oxygen and air and that sort of thing.
Now, if you build with wood, you're asking for another disaster. That's a known fact. The only thing that stood up in wildfires has been concrete and foam. Period.
Let me tell you a story. We were asked by Channel 5 to
to report on the Oakland fire. So they got a TV truck and one of those handsome announcers, and they brought us out to the fire scene. The smoke was still smoldering. The truck had no windows in it. It was completely encapsulated. We were completely encapsulated. They couldn't see anything. Somebody got out of the truck and pulled the side door of the panel van open, and I looked out at the landscape, and I broke into tears. I mean, I couldn't do anything else but bawl. And I looked off to the left, and there was only one house standing. The house was stucco and clay tile roof. It stood. The rest of the property was fireplaces and burnt cars and melted refrigerators, just like it is here.
You can explore alternatives. We don't disagree with you. Insurance companies are not going to subsidize that. It may be more costly. And so the comment is that there is a discount on his insurance for using something that is more fire resistant. That's something you'll want to check.
4-hour firewall versus one for wood.
Very good.
We're out of time. We're out of time. We'll be right back.
It's all academic.
Here are James and Morris Carey.
And we are back.
All right, John writes, is there a way I could have an expert look at our property to assess the risk for landslides? I would say if you're feeling that you are at risk for a landslide, that perhaps you should hook up with Mike Hogan, who is one of our experts, and Mike's website, and I'm going to give that to you, it'll be on our list, but Mike's website is Hogan, HOGANLS.com. He would be a good resource, and I think that you should get someone out to assess your property if you're at risk for landslides. All right, we have Matthew has been part of our panel, but we now have his dad, who was on our panel 26 years ago for the Oakland fire. Ray, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
And we're well. We should say to our listening audience that you are an attorney. You specialize in helping folks with insurance settlements, whether it's workers' comp or they've loss of home. You're in Montecito. You're in the middle of the mudslides. You couldn't join us. We have a question for you. Can you go over the extended coverage process and navigating this with the insurance company? We've already received a check to max out coverage A. This is from Sean in Santa Rosa.
Okay, I'm very sorry. We don't have a great connection because of the cell phone situation, so I'm going to have to ask you to repeat the question.
Okay. Sean in Santa Rosa writes, can you go over the extended coverage process and navigating this with the insurance company? We've already received a check to max out coverage A.
Well, you know, obviously it depends on what you signed in order to get that check. If you signed off on the money that the insurance company owes you under coverage A or under any other provision of the policy, then you may have a problem. Part of the issue has to do with the fact that many of these policies have a flat amount of the coverage, let's say $500,000, and then they might also have extended coverage for code upgrades or extended coverage for replacement guarantees, which are, I'm sure you probably talked about this in your program already today. I hope I'm not repeating what you've already covered. But when you're dealing with provisions and policies like that, you really have to read the fine print, because there is almost no such thing as coverage that will guarantee that you'll be able to receive enough money to rebuild or replace whatever it was that you had before if your coverage limits are not high enough. Which, I'm sorry to complicate this further, but it raises another question, and that is, if you have insufficient insurance, why do you have that insufficient insurance, and is the insurance company responsible for that? Sometimes it's the fault of the policyholder who simply says, I want to save money and I don't want to pay a high premium, so therefore I'll insure my house for less than it's worth. But sometimes it's the insurance company's doing for two reasons. One, because they want to give you a competitive premium bid, and two, because they want to restrict their own exposure in the event of catastrophic loss. So you really have to find out why your limits are, both in personal property and in dwelling protection coverage, why your limits are not sufficient enough to help you to rebuild and replace what you actually lost. With regard to the question, the specific question, it really depends on what you've already signed, and it also depends on the terms of your specific policy, because there are many differences from one policy to another.
Thank you for the answer. Ray, what do you want to leave with our audience who have suffered this devastation and maybe leave them with something that they should think about as a plan of action?
Well, basically, the most important thing is to get everything in writing from the insurance company, number one, and write down the name and the phone number or the contact information for everybody that you speak with, because you'll probably, over the course of a claim, talk to three or four or even more representatives of the company. You want to be able to go back and say, so-and-so said this on such and such a date, and you want to confirm that in writing afterwards, and you want to save the information. So that's a very important thing for you to do. You also have to make sure that you are using, and I'm sure you've covered this already, you're using authentic bids on replacement of property, not estimates. Insurance companies would love to tell you, we've got software, and our software will tell you what it should cost to rebuild your home, and here it is. You should be able to rebuild the entire home as it was before for X $100,000. Don't accept it. Don't buy it. Have your own contractor tell you in a bid that cannot be modified downward, upward, rather. Make sure that you have that information in the form of a bid and that you are relying on your information, not on the insurance companies. The third thing is you want to really be careful that you're getting like kind and quality for what it is you're replacing, because sometimes people will tell you, well, you don't really need to have granite countertops. This marble is just as good. And maybe it is, probably it isn't. So you have to make sure that your contractor is on board with everything that you're doing, and that you're replacing antiques with antiques, not with faux antiques, and so on. Those are the things I would basically leave your listeners with. Those are the most important things, I think, to pay attention to on an ongoing basis.
Ray, one more quick question. Just got notification. This is a text from a fellow here, and he writes, just got notification from our insurer. They're going to involve another party whose job it is to work with us and our insurance company, architect and builder, to establish a replacement cost value for what it's going to cost to rebuild our home to pre-loss condition. Is this normal and advisable, or a must?
It's not normal or advisable. The only person you should rely on, the only person that you should rely on, is your own licensed general contractor, whose reputation you can trust and believe in, because you can't throw a rock without hitting somebody who will give an insurance company whatever opinion they want to pay for. Don't forget what happened to the victims of Hurricane Sandy as it was broadcast on 60 Minutes. If you Google that information, you'll be able to find out. What the insurance companies did is they used experts, quote-unquote experts, and they signed their names to structural damage reports that were totally phony. They were not at all written by those experts. And they used other experts who were willing to sign anything. They out and out defrauded people. And many of those victims of Hurricane Sandy still haven't been compensated to this day. So you have to, I'm sorry to say it, but you have to be on your guard with respect to any suggestions that the insurance company makes. Stick to your guns, stick to your own experts, your own advisors, and don't take their word for anything.
Ray Boris, attorney.
Hooray for Ray Boris. Big round of applause for Ray. Yeah.
Attorney at law, Ray, I'm sorry that 26 years later we had to meet under the same circumstances where we began helping folks post Oakland firestorm. Thank you for agreeing to be with us, and also for sending your son. Matthew is a chip off the old block. He's just been a terrific resource for our panel. We appreciate it. We wish you well. We know you're in Montecito. We send you our best wishes and thoughts and prayers.
Well, Ed, thank you, and thank you for all the work that you're doing. My God, you have been at this for so long, and you are making a big, big difference in an awful lot of lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you. Ray Boris, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
Thanks, Ray.
One of the things that you're going to need to consider as part of your rebuild is what you had in the way of finishes, interior window treatment, for example. Some of the decorating items and so on. And we received a lovely email from our guest panelist. She is Hallie Ann Hall, and she has Hallie Ann Hall Interiors. Thank you so much for taking time to join us. And if you'd pick up that microphone, what is it that you'd like to tell our listeners as regards to their rebuilding process and some things that they should think about with regard to interiors?
Thank you for having me here today, James and Morris. I appreciate it. By the way, my last name is Hale, H-A-I-L.
Hale.
Not Hall.
Hale to Hale.
Hale to the decorator.
Yeah, right.
My first thing to do would be to start now. Don't wait. You can think about it. You need to think about it. You need to start planning. Get a plan in mind. Second thing, get a plan in mind as to what your needs are. Maybe not what your wants are right now. Well, go ahead and put those down too. Make two columns, needs, wants. We can try to incorporate those as much as possible. If we have to stay within the footprint of what your insurance says you have to do, we could do that. And later on, we can make some changes and go from there. Get your budget in mind. Get your insurance information so that you have some idea of what you're going to be working with and what it's going to cost. And the fourth thing is to call me to help you. My price is right. I'm not charging you a penny. I love doing this. I've loved it since I was 7 years old, and I want to help you. So if there's anything I can do at all, or if you know someone else I can help, please don't hesitate to call. My flyers are on the back table out there. You can pick one up. And I would appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Give her a big hand. How wonderful. A member of the community reaching out to help. And it does take a village. We're going to go straight through. We're not going to take any breaks. We're going to go straight through the end of the hour.
Okay.
You have a question?
Question from someone here in the audience. I am a general contractor. When I built my house a few years ago, the footprint of the existing house that was there was deducted from the square footage of the new house I was building. I paid for fees and permits on the difference. Is that something that will take place in this instance?
David, are you able to address that? Anyone, David or Patrick?
Sure. When rebuilding, if you're rebuilding the existing footprint, you've already paid those fees. But if you're expanding your house just like you would in a remodel, we would follow that same process and not, you'd only pay the increment. And same with the property tax. So you need to be aware, if you are expanding your house, be aware that you are increasing your footprint, livable space. That does affect your property tax value. So you want to
interesting.
You want to keep that in mind as you're thinking about what if you taking this opportunity to expand your property.
That's an excellent point.
point, I think we all be aware of the fact that if you decide to expand your house, your property taxes are going to go up. If you decide to add a bathroom, your property taxes are going to go up. If you enlarge your kitchen, your property taxes are going to go up. So you have to be very careful how you rebuild, and understanding that every decision you make from this point on, or from when you started making decisions to the end, there are going to be costs that are going to follow you forever.
So would it be safe to say that if someone has a three-bedroom, two-bath, and it's got a two-car attached garage, and it's 1,800 square feet of conditioned space plus a 400-square-foot garage, plus or minus, if they adhere to that general configuration but change the design, they would fall within the existing allowable and they wouldn't trigger a an assessment, so to speak.
Yeah, that's the correct. I think you look at the footprint.
So we look at the
Right. reconfigure your
So the point is you don't have to have a design that meets every measurement that you currently have. It is generally the space and the what constitutes that space.
That's correct. If you have questions, you can always reach out to the assessor's office. They've been answering these questions. There's information on the website. The best resource of information everyone can go to in this county is SonomaRecovers.org.
SonomaRecovers.org.
It's got county and city information on there, assessor's information, all this information on there. SonomaCountyRecovers.org is an excellent source of information.
Yeah, and I did go there, and I saw the information that you have available at the website. It's tremendous. It really is.
Matt, do you have any idea how Title 13 will be affected by the reconstruction?
I wouldn't be able to answer that.
Okay. Anybody here know what's going to happen with Title 13 on the reconstruction? Will Title 13 still apply?
You mean Proposition 13.
I'm sorry, Proposition 13.
Yeah.
Forgive me. I'm thinking Title 24. Proposition 13.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Prop 13, so the taxing. So, again, similar to the expansion of a home. If you keep your same footprint, you maintain your
Prop 13,
your Prop 13 tax level. If you add on and you add square footage, your additional property tax value will be at that new rate, and it'll be a composite rate essentially at that point.
Got it. Prop 13 for the old and the brand new tax rate for the new.
Correct. It'll be a blended rate from that point forward.
Now, can you address either Title 13 or Preparation H? Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay. All right. Whatever. Anyway, a little humor. I know these times are not easy, and I hope that you're taking time for yourselves, for your families, for your pets, for your community, for the people that love you. I'm certain that you're hurting, and our hearts go out to you. You know, we were raised in a home built by our grandfather, who was a contractor at the turn of the century. My mother was born in that home. We were raised in that home. There were at least three generations that lived in that home at any given time, and sometimes four. And there was something in the 60s called urban renewal. And they said, you know, we're going to really improve communities across this country. And what we're going to do is we're going to tear down these neighborhoods and we're going to build new neighborhoods and we're going to call it urban renewal. And they did that to our family home. And when that home went down, it took a part of us. I know it took a part of our mother and her siblings and our family. And we have gone back to that home in our hearts and in our minds so many times over the years. And it's loss that we feel even at this moment. The neighborhood's gone. The home is gone. We can't go back and look at that space. But we knew that we'd lose that home. We knew that at some point we had a year, two, or three to prepare for that. And when the time finally came, we were able to pack up our personal belongings and we were able to move to our new home. And we made peace with that. And life went on. As I visited the neighborhoods in your community today, I thought about our old home. And I thought about the loss that I still feel today. And then I thought about you. And I thought about how you didn't have time to prepare. How you didn't have that year or two or three to prepare yourself psychologically and emotionally and physically for what happened. And that you didn't have time to box all of your personal belongings, your photographs and all the things that you've collected over the years that you may have lost. And as I walked up the street, I looked at the trees and I looked at the street and I saw children riding their bikes and thinking about how you can't go back and visit that space the way it was. It will come back. It will be new. It will be different. And will evolve. But I want you to know that we understand. And our thoughts are with you. And our prayers are with you. And to the extent that we can be available to you, as we have for 25 years in this community, we will be. And with that, we thank everyone who has made themselves available. Everyone on this panel, at KSRO, on our team, and for you for taking time to be with us today. Because we know that although you will get through this process, that you'll still have in your heart the feeling for what you had and the loss that you have. Give yourself time to recover. I'm certain that many of you are still in complete shock and really haven't fully grasped what has happened. Even my son, who goes to Sonoma State, was evacuated. We were concerned for him. Time will heal. Be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with your loved ones. Give yourself time and space, and don't be in a hurry. And let's heal together.
Okay. A couple of more questions to answer. These two are the same. Has the flame retardant product from West Coast Fire Shield been tested for toxic outgassing?
Yes. Yes, it has been tested for toxic outgassing. It has very low VOCs, if that's what they're asking. It is a water-based product, so it's not categorized under some of the harsh oil-based products that are out there.
And is there a government test of your product showing that it reduces fire?
Yeah, so how that works is the third-party testing laboratories that the government approves of. So in this case, there are many testing laboratories that can get your product tested under. Our products are tested under one of the laboratories that California approves.
Here's one. What type of fire-resistant roofing material do you recommend? This is from Cynthia and Brad in Santa Rosa. They're in the Mark West Springs area. We were out there today. Composition shingles, which are fiberglass mat with a asphalt base, cover 70% of the roofs, according to the National Roofing Contractors Association in North America. It also happens to be one of the most affordable materials and durable. I don't have an interest in selling any particular roofing product. I think you should have a product that has a Class A fire rating. I think that you should have a product that's durable, that will last a long time. And I think you should have a product that enhances the curb appeal of your home and matches the architecture that you'd like to see for your home. But I definitely would not recommend fire-rated shakes. That I can say.
About
1 minute?
Yeah, I
I want to remind you that the first thing I saw when I got out of the truck in Oakland just the day after the fire was that stucco house with a clay tile roof. And for fire resistance, you can't beat those two elements.
Thank you all. A reminder that we will post a resource page at our website at onthehouse.com. That will be at ksro.com as well. Our entire three-hour seminar and broadcast will be podcast. It will be available to you online at both of those websites. We'll continue to do our best to answer your questions as time goes on, and we thank each and every panelist and volunteer and all of the support that we got from our engineering staff, the radio station at KSRO, and our team. Thank you so much.
Good luck to all of you. Good luck to all of you.